I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/FU Network TV, and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
It is Michelle Badusky here, keeping it real with you on Kick FM Radio, Ed the Sock's FU Network, and of course, you may actually be watching me on Facebook or YouTube or listening to me on SoundCloud. It doesn't matter. Wherever you're listening or tuning in, thank you very much for joining me. And I'm really excited about this because we are continuing our discussion on bullying. And I'm joined today from Vancouver Island with Byron Rutledge. I was scared I was going to say Brian, but it's Byron. So thanks for joining me, Byron. And
no problem.
You're here from Vancouver Island. Obviously, we're, you know, conferencing in. But I am so proud of you for having this discussion because it is difficult to get men to speak openly about being victims of bullying. And that's your story.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, the less people speak out, the more stigma's attached to it. And yeah, it's hard for me to talk about it, but that's the only way the stigma's going to end and other people are going to be able to talk about what they went through.
Well, you know what? Thank you very much for doing that because you are 100% right. And that's why we have these conversations on Keeping It Real. I have these podcasts because I always say that the harder a conversation is to have, the more we need to have it. And it's really important. And you know what? You were saying you're married, you've got children, and you were the victim of bullying all the way through school. So can you tell me a little bit about it, whatever you're comfortable sharing?
Well, it started in elementary school. You know, I can't remember exactly. It was around grade 2, and I got labeled as different. Mm-hmm. I didn't go along with the crowd or what was quote-unquote popular. And as soon as I got labeled as different, that was the end of it. And I went to a really, really small elementary school. Like, at its peak, it only had 100 students.
Wow.
You know, so everybody knew everybody, small town life. Everybody knows your business. And, yeah, once I got that label, that was it. Anytime a new student came in, you know, they'd be cool with me until they got to meet with the other kids. And then it was that. And yeah, it was, you know, junior high is when it got really bad. That's when it started getting physical, and you know, I think I got thrown into every locker in my junior high.
Oh, I am so sorry that you went through that, and it is really, you know, I was trying to think about how large my school was, because I know you've listened to some of the podcasts that we've done on this series of bullying, and when I was young, and I shared this on some of those podcasts, I was bullied, and I eventually turned around and became the bully, and not something I'm proud of, and it's just one of those kind of experiences that I wanted to share and explore. But that small school, you know, that small group of people, that's got to be exceptionally difficult to deal with, and I'm not judging your age, but I'm assuming that this was, you know, back before social media and, you know, was really, really popular. I'm not quite sure how old you are. You don't have to share that with me.
I just turned 36.
Oh, okay. So you, by the time you were in high school, you know, the internet was around. It's not like you're my age, but.
Well, I didn't even really get on the internet until after high school. My dad is really old school. So that new internet thing was just, we didn't get internet in my house till I paid for it once I was 18.
You know what? That's not a bad thing. When I'm hearing the stories about the cyberbullying and the social media aspect, now I'm grateful it wasn't around when I was
young. I am very thankful that I did not have to deal with social media, because my kids have dealt with the bullying on social media and just not being able to escape it. I can't imagine that. I could go home and I could hide in my room and you know, play with my toys, or just I could escape it for even while I was not at school. You know, I knew there was an end to it.
I agree. I feel the same way. And now with social media and texting and all of that stuff, there is no escaping it. And we're going to continue to explore it and talk about, and I want to ask you about how you as a parent are dealing with that with your kids. But going back to your experiences, I'm not quite sure how to even ask this question. My experiences are that of being a woman, right? And how I kind of had to deal with what was going on. And there are differences in society on how things like bullying are perceived between, you know, girls and boys. And how was it, you know, you mentioned to me earlier that, you know, some of this bullying was actually encouraged by your teachers, that, you know, you didn't really feel like you had that kind of safe space at school?
It didn't get encouraged by teachers, at least to my perception, until I was in high school. Okay. And it was only one teacher. And so it was one teacher for a semester. I just made sure not to have him again. I just made sure, once I didn't have the required courses that he taught, I made sure not to have him as a teacher anymore. So I still had safe spaces. In junior high, I was in band, like all through junior high and high school. And that was my safe space, was music and being able to escape that way. And like, once I got to high school, it did get a little bit better, because that's when I had friends, because it was a bigger population in the high school. I think we had almost 1,800 students by the time I got to high school. So it was a big high school for even for Vancouver Island. And so once I got to high school, it did get a little bit better. I had friends there to back me up when I was at lunch or, you know, in a gap class or whatever, right? So it did get better, but junior high was probably the absolute worst for me.
Well, I'm glad it got better. And I'm glad you found that social circle. And that's one of the things, as we've been exploring and talking to different people, that is so important, is not just having safe spaces, but groups of people that, you know, that support system, that circle of whether it's friends or parents or, you know, counselors or teachers. I'm glad to hear that your issues with the teachers wasn't, you know, huge. It was just kind of one bad teacher, because I don't ever want, as we're talking about this, I don't ever want people to think that I'm blaming or that anyone's blaming, you know, schools or teachers or anything like that. This conversation we're having isn't about blame, it's about solutions. And when you're in junior high, like, how did you manage, like, how did you deal with it? What were your outlets?
Music, that was about it. I just buried myself in music, and, you know, I had a little Walkman that I walked around with, little CD player, and I just buried myself in it. And the couple of people that weren't afraid to be seen with me, I kind of had them too. But yeah, junior high was probably the absolute worst. That's when it, you know, I remember one time, I think I got jumped by 15 people. Jesus. You know, and then that was like the one time I actually tried to stick up for myself, and it got physical. And yeah, I got jumped by 14, 15 people, stomping on me with rollerblades, the whole nine yards. And,
oh my God.
Yeah. The schools did as much as they could, but it was the same old, my kid didn't do it. And it got to the point where I just stopped telling the teachers, because that just made it worse, honestly, because you get labeled a rat. And that's just an extra stigma that I just didn't need.
So you just kind of buried it and dealt with it.
Put my nose to the grindstone and just kind of powered through.
Were your parents aware of what was going on?
Yeah, they did everything in their power to help me, but it was still the same old, well, grin and bear it, tough it out, you know, boys don't cry.
Oh, I hate that. I've got three sons. Yeah. It, you know, that whole thing, boys don't cry, suck it up. You know, some of the other things that I've heard, you know, that are common to hear, it's like, grow some balls, you know.
Yeah, but balls are fucking fragile. I don't get that one.
Did you ever hear Betty White's, she had like a monologue about, you know, why people say grow some balls when they're so fragile, that, you know, you got to listen to it. I'm not going to say it.
I've heard variations of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So, I mean, if you guys are listening, Google Betty White, grow some balls. It is the most hilarious thing, especially when it's coming from a woman her age. But do you feel that things are different for boys than they are for girls, that there's more pressure on you to kind of suck it up? Or is it, you know, how do you see that? Like, what can we do about this?
Well, that seems to me like it's more of a society in general thing. Mm-hmm. And get rid of, and this is how that whole toxic masculinity hurts men just as much, if, well, not more, but it hurts men too.
Absolutely.
And it's all, I can do it on my own. I can deal with this. And I still struggle with that to this day. It's, you know, I'm still, even all these years later, I've been out of school longer than I was in school. I still deal with those scars. I still look over my shoulder to make sure when people are behind me, they're not going to jump me. If I see people whispering in a corner, could be complete strangers, my first thought is, oh, they're talking about me.
And those are scars.
Yeah.
They are scars. And, you know, I think you nailed it there, is that society as a whole, you know, we spend so much time talking about mental health, and, you know, there's still such a stigma on men to actually, you know, ask for help, say that they need help or that they need support or that they're struggling. And we need to stop that. You know, I think we've gotten better than we were 20 years ago, but we are still far from where we need to be. And that toxic masculinity, I know that every time I kind of bring up the subject, I'm kind of labeled as, you know, a real hard-ass bitch feminist, which I am, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean I'm anti-man. I just want a world,
you know. I never felt attacked by women that call themselves feminists. You know, if a woman says, well, men do this, well, if I feel attacked by that, that means I need to look at myself and maybe I'm doing the thing that she thinks is bad.
Well, and I think, you know, what we all need to learn from that is that, you know, it's not all men, some women, right? Like, this idea of judging and labeling everybody is in a group is basically, to me, it's hate speech. And we need to end that. And you were kind of saying that your bullying started in elementary school because you didn't fit what your school, you know, considered normal or standard. And
I've always worn my emotions on my sleeve, you know, so when I would get upset, you know, or, you know, I was a lot more naive than some of the other kids. So they'd say words that they knew I didn't know the meaning of to confuse me and make me look stupid. And it, like I said, once I got labeled different, that just kind of, and especially coming from such a small community, you know, that group of 10 or 15 kids that went to junior high with me in grade 7, well, immediately it gets around the school because now there's only a couple hundred kids in the junior high. So that gets around. So it just, it followed me. But like I said, by the time I got to high school, there was actually people that just kind of got to know me and accepted me for who I was. And yeah, it did get better. But like I said, I'm still dealing with that. I'm afraid to talk to people. The closer I get to somebody, the more I'm afraid of being rejected. So it's easier to talk to a complete stranger for me than it is to talk to somebody that, like my wife, which mm-hmm. is something that I'm working on recently. It's kind of come to a head, and I'm starting to get the help that I need, which is good. And she's been a real big supporter of helping me do that. So it's been nice.
You know what? And it is so good that you are. I was going to ask you reaching out and getting that help, because that idea that everybody just has to suck it up and get over it, it's not that easy when you've lived with something, especially something that was so prolonged, like you're talking about. You're talking about years, almost a decade.
I've heard people say that, and other people that I listen to, that bullying isn't quite an accurate term for what it can get to. Mm-hmm. Like, it is abuse.
Absolutely.
And torture. And calling it bullying, it's almost like it can be brushed off, like it's just, you know, a couple of name calling it, mm-hmm. you know, or a little scrap in the schoolyard, when it does lead to these lasting issues for people, you know, all of people's lives.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think the term bullying is so overused now that we have labeled everything bullying. So it's almost like nothing is bullying anymore. And, you know, that's a whole podcast unto itself to talk about that. But it is abuse. It's long-term systemic abuse. And there are, you know, I do a lot of talking to people who are adult survivors of sexual abuse or physical abuse or mental abuse. And that's what this is. This is just another form of long-term abuse. And to expect someone to just shrug it off and, you know, get over it once they hit adulthood or leave school is absolutely ridiculous.
I felt those ripples throughout my entire life. Like my first serious relationship after high school, I let her get away with a lot of stuff that I can look back now and be like, yeah, that was, it was the same behavior that the bullies gave me. And I just took it because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to get better. So you knuckle down and you just take it.
You know, and it is so cool to hear you say that because I hear that when I deal with, you know, women, you know, victims of domestic violence or intimate partner violence, as it's called now. And it's kind of the same thing. It's like, I grew up kind of expecting to be treated like this. I grew up feeling like I deserved it and there was nothing I could do about it. So I entered a relationship that was exactly that. And you're telling me the exact same thing, that the effects of your bullying or the abuse you suffered at the hands of these bullies in, you know, school has completely changed your ability to have, you know, healthy relationships just like that. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I have to credit, you know, my wife. Like, I met her 16 years ago, and she was the person that kind of sat there and listened to me and kind of told me, like, no, you're not what you see yourself as, and was there for me. And honestly, I don't think I'd be sitting here talking to you if I hadn't met her, because she's been a huge support for me, and she's really stuck by all my crappy self-destructive behaviors and kind of kept smacking me on the head saying, like, hey, get help, and really pushed me into it. And I can't, you know, I, like I said, I wouldn't be here. And plus having my daughters and being there for them. And to me, at least the school system that I went to, it's changed a lot as far as how they deal with bullying. It's almost like a restorative justice thing now, instead of, well, we're just going to suspend you for 3 days and piss on you kind of thing. So, mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that, because how old are your daughters? You've got three of them?
Yeah. My oldest just turned 12. My middle kid just turned 11, and my youngest is going to turn 9 in May.
Wow. So you're getting into those, you know, preteen junior high years in a whole different world.
I've just went into junior high.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting for you, because
actually,
three girls that age is interesting for everybody.
My oldest has been bullied a little bit, but it is a lot different than when I was in school. She has friends that stick up for her, and I find the access to counseling in schools is a lot better than it was when I was there. You know, she's got a counselor in junior high that she can go see whenever she wants. She can just go and talk to them, and they're working up plans on how to deal with things. And the teachers have been a lot, especially administration, at least in elementary school, was a lot more involved in fixing, you know, nipping these problems in the bud. And, you know, just making sure that everybody's moving along happy and healthy.
That's awesome to hear. I am so glad to hear that, and that your daughter has that support system. And obviously she's got some strong parents that, you know, have her back.
My wife is the strongest woman I know. I own my own freight truck, so I'm gone 310 days a year.
Wow.
So she's that backbone in the household that really keeps everything moving. And I mean, I've had to make a few phone calls from wherever I happen to be to talk to the principals and say, hey, no, deal with this now, or I'm going to come there in person and it's not going to be so pleasant. But it's been good. I found a few of the teachers have kind of, at least in elementary school, took my oldest under their wing and kind of guided them through. And it has improved a lot since I was in school.
I'm so glad to hear that. And how is it as a parent dealing with the social media aspect of that? You mentioned that with your daughters. I don't know if you want to share, but has your experience, you know, with bullying yourself changed kind of the way you parent when it comes to things like that?
I think I've been a little bit more hypersensitive to it, and things that might not be bullying might just be two people kind of having a little bicker. I kind of go to that extreme sometimes. But with the social media, the school is getting a lot more involved in saying, hey, you can't do that.
Good.
You know, and that's been really encouraging. And the couple of times that I've tried to reach out to parents, it hadn't gone so well. So typically now, if there's a problem, we just go right to the school. But we're also really encouraged my daughter to curate her social media experience and don't be afraid to block somebody if they're being bad or if they're being awful people to them. You know, just block them, take your break, you know, go outside and play, watch a movie, do whatever you want to do, draw, whatever you're into, you know, don't live on it. Yeah. So I'm just trying to encourage them. I can't keep them off it. That's just it's modern society now.
Well, and that's one of those things and one of the reasons why I'm a big advocate. I use the hashtag, you know, take back the tool a lot because social media was designed to bring us together and yet kind of like a tool for society. And yet we have turned it into a weapon and we're using it against each other. Adults, you know, are worse than I think kids ever could be. And we are not going to end social media. We're not going to end the internet. This is how society is. So we have to kind of learn how to deal with it and use it appropriately. And having, especially, I'm going to say it, especially girls, social media is a huge thing and we can't expect to keep them off of it. But I love what you said about, you know, kind of curating your experience. That's a great idea, right? Like just get in there right off the bat and realize you don't have to put up with that online or in person.
Well, I think that's what it is. Especially with social media and the reach that it has and the impact it has on our lives, is you have to take that self-care. And no, I don't want to see this. Nope, you're going to be a shithead to me. Nope, you're done. You know, it's a single cell amoeba knows enough not to butt against something that's going to hurt it. Why can't I figure it out, kind of thing? I'm not going to put up with, if it's not something I would put up with face to face, I'm definitely not going to deal with it online.
I absolutely love that because we do have those keyboard warriors that, you know, think they can do and say anything online. They hide behind, you know, anonymous accounts. They sometimes, you know, in where I am, I'm in rural Manitoba. We're still heavily on Facebook, whereas, you know, Vancouver Island, you guys are probably on Twitter a lot more than you are Facebook, things like that.
I took myself off Twitter. It just was really bad. I use Instagram now. Yeah. And I use Instagram just to look at pretty pictures, you know, and to follow people that say things that I like. And Facebook, I keep in touch with a few family members that I can't see all the time. And I use it to keep up with local news because I'm not home to watch TV. And that's basically it.
Well, and, you know, and I think that's cool because it's like if you use, let's say, the three main social media, you've got Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. They're all very different. And I find our Facebook page, you know, we've got a lot of followers here on Facebook. And what I find is that the conversation, we have some really great discussions, like really good discussions on Facebook because you can post long. A lot of people in my area are still on Facebook. They haven't made that switch to Twitter yet. So if you actually look at my Facebook page, you know, we've got thousands and thousands of followers and you go to my Twitter account and there's a couple hundred, right? Like there's that difference here. But because people are linked to their actual Facebook account, and it's not really anonymous like it is on Twitter or Instagram, I find that, you know, the hostility levels aren't quite the same. You know, the insults, my page is heavily moderated, but people tend to be a little bit more respectful. Twitter is like wide open. It can be some of the ugliest things that, and we're doing it to each other as adults. So good for you for stepping back.
That the internet, it puts that distance between somebody. I can say whatever I want, and I don't have to see the reaction on your face. And frankly, I don't have that risk of being punched in the throat for saying something asinine. You know,
that's everything. I mean, the things people will say to someone online, I couldn't ever imagine them saying, like, face to face or in person. And it's absolutely, you know, astonishing to me how people will talk to each other, because they would never do that in person. And you know, it's ridiculous. I've had some discussions and some very heated debates. You know, I'm heavily involved in politics, things like that. And I've actually invited some people. I'm like, well, you know what? You want to debate this? You want to discuss this? Come sit on camera. Let's do face-to-face discussion on camera, or you can come to, you know, the TV studio or the radio, and we'll sit there and have a one-on-one face-to-face discussion. And nobody ever wants to. They want to stay behind their keyboard. And I always find that so interesting that people will not stand behind what they say face to face. And that level of bullying now, it takes it to a whole new level.
People are just chasing that hit of dopamine in their brain, and they've confused pleasure with real happiness. And they'll say whatever they want to get that little hit of dopamine. And eventually it has to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And I've had to cut friends out of my life that started trolling me on my own Facebook page and trolling my family, because that's the level it got to. They were so desperate for that little hit of, I said something that upset them. You know, I got them. We've made them cry. We've upset them. I win. And yeah.
You know, it's astonishing to me that we have gotten to that level, because I 100% agree with you that that's exactly where, like, the online aspect of bullying comes from, is that dopamine rush that we get when, you know, our phone goes off and it's like, oh, someone's thinking about me, or I've had an impact. And yet we tend to, there's something wrong with us somehow that we don't get the same rush when we have a positive impact on somebody. And that's what, you know, I wish we could just kind of wave a magic wand and say, hey, let's, you know, share a positive smiley face. And it just doesn't work the same way. I don't know what it is that's changed in the way our brains function, but when I see this happening as a parent, when I see this happening as an adult, and adults are doing it to each other, how the hell are we supposed to expect our kids to not do it?
I think it's shifting. Progress in these things is always slow and it's always incremental, but I think it's getting better. At least I hope it is. It seems to be better for my kids than it was for me.
That's good.
I was terrified when I knew my oldest was going from elementary school into the same junior high where I had such a god-awful experience. But after her first couple of days, she's coming home and telling me, oh, I've got more friends now. You know, I'm doing things that are cool. The electives are awesome. Like, it is improving as far as I can tell.
Good. I am so glad to hear that, because I was going to ask you, do you talk to your kids about your experience with bullying?
In general terms, I've talked with them about it in ways that they can kind of grasp it at appropriate ages. And I'm trying to share with them now too, like, hey, I'm struggling with my own mental health and I'm taking these steps to get help. And, you know, we're all kind of walking that journey together. Even my wife is on her own journey. And it's really good they're not making the same mistakes I did. And you know, they're not closing themselves in and just trying to kind of power through it on their own.
I love that. I absolutely love that, because that's why we talk about our experiences, is to hopefully prevent someone from following that same path. And hearing a father talk about mental health and getting help, and it is amazing to me.
I probably wouldn't have done this 2 weeks ago. Honestly, 2 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have done it. But like I said, my wife's been really pushing me that I need to get healthy, and I'm kind of finally starting to, okay, yeah, I better do it. And then, you know, hearing things like what you're doing, and that the interview that Steve did with Michael Landsberg on the Sick Knot, like I follow him on Facebook, and I've really been in, that's been really helpful too, is seeing people speaking out about their own struggles and the encouragement that him and his team on his page have reached out to me when I share something and said, hey, like, we're proud of you for doing that. That kind of stuff shows the real power of what social media can do.
Absolutely.
And like I said, myself, having my wife there, she's my biggest cheerleader. I wouldn't be a tenth as successful as I am now without her putting in all the work at home and her making the sacrifices that she makes so I can be out here and I can provide for my family. So
it takes a partnership, right? Like, you know, I've got an amazing husband, and, you know, I think it is so important that our partners not only understand where we are with our mental health journey, but and are supportive, but that we can talk about it, because it's such a big part of who we are, you know. And we've made this comparison so many times that if we are physically sick, or we have a broken leg, or cancer, or something like that, no one stops us from talking about it. Nobody belittles us for talking about it. And yet when it comes to mental health or our, you know, experiences as a victim or anything like that, we're not supposed to. And you are changing that. You are changing the world for your daughters and for everyone who hears you by sharing your story and speaking out. And that takes an incredible amount of courage. And I am so proud of you for being here and sharing this with us.
I appreciate that.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. And I just want to touch quickly on something you had said to me about, you know, you kind of reached out and said that it was a little bit of an eye-opener for you when we talked about bullying from the bully's perspective. And you mentioned that it's not something you'd ever thought of. Have you ever actually, you know, you're still in the same town, you know, your kids are going to the same school. Have you ever connected with those kids that bullied you in school?
A lot of those people that bullied me in school have left. And if I saw them, I wouldn't not talk to them. I you know, it. What's done is done. I'm an adult now. I can't ignore what happened, but they also, I can't really assume they're the same people they were 15, 20 years ago, because I'm not the same person I was 15 or 20 years ago. If I talk to them, I talk to them. If I don't, whatever. I have to focus on dealing with the scars that I have to deal with. And assigning blame to a specific person doesn't really help me do that. That's just myself.
Good it's for just, you. Like that's an amazing attitude. And again, I am so proud of you, because this strength and openness that you are sharing with all of us, but your family, that is, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, man up. That's being a man. You know, being a man, to me, isn't about pretending that you can fix the world and nothing ever gets to you. It's about being just as open and honest with yourself and others about who you are. And men have feelings, you know.
Well, I've been trying to make a conscious effort not to take back what I define as masculinity. It's just nobody can define that for me but me. And I can't define it for anybody else. This is me. And I'm a guy, so this makes me masculine. I'm not going to tell anybody else how to run their lives. If I want to cry, I'm going to do it. It's still hard. It's still hard to be that vulnerable. But, you know, my kids have seen me cry. Not very much, but they have. And I try and talk with them and just say, hey, like, it's okay for somebody to be vulnerable. And I've tried to, I just try and talk to them about don't take shit from people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an asshole back. You just have to say, no, you're not going to treat me with respect. You don't get to be in my life. And a lot of that comes from my wife. And I mean, she's the one raising the most of the time because I'm always working, sadly. But she's really been trying to drill into them. Don't take shit. You know, if somebody's going to be mean to you, they don't deserve to be in your life. You know, you don't have to be an asshole back. Just, okay, see you later.
Yeah.
And move on.
That is such a powerful message for all of us. You know, not just for our kids. You know, I have four kids, but three boys. And hearing, you know, I want them raised. My husband is fantastic. We're on the same page here. But my youngest is 5. I have an 8-year-old, but I also have a 26-year-old. And how things were 26 years ago compared to now, things have changed in society. And I so want my younger boys, well, my older boys too, but I'm, you know, that's a whole different kind of relationship. I want them to know that it is okay to cry, that boys do cry, that boys can play with dolls, that boys can, you know, care about their hair, that they can, that there's no set definition of what it means to be a boy or a man. And the way you said that is, I'm masculine, I'm a man because I'm a man. It has nothing to do with my clothes, my behavior. And we need more of that. We need more of you.
That might be a little questionable. It depends on who you are. But I've tried to drill that into my kids. Like, you get to define who you are. And having three daughters, like, I've dealt with that because it's just in society, you know, well, I can't play with that. That's a boy's toy. No, it's just a toy.
That's right.
You play whatever you want to play with. You want to be girly? Go ahead and be that. One quote that I've really taken, and I can't remember who said it, but people are going to judge you no matter what choices you make. So go do whatever the fuck you want to do anyways.
You know what? Absolutely. I love that. I think it is so important that we stop putting so much power on what other people think. And, you know, when we were talking about social media and you're saying that dopamine rush, you know, this idea that everything that we do has to be liked and shared and, you know, all the little hashtags.
People never put their deepest, darkest moments on Facebook. It's when people put stuff on Facebook, and I've had this talk with my kids, especially my oldest daughter, they're only putting forward what they want you to see. Yeah. They're not putting forward that they're struggling, that they think they're ugly too, or any of these things that everybody deals with. It's, look at me, I'm amazing, I'm happy, give me that attention that we want.
And get that dopamine rush, right? And
exactly.
And we see this, and I've had this talk with my daughter, she's older than yours, so you may not have it yet, but as we're talking about, you know, Instagram and social media and texting, the idea of sexting and nude pictures and things like that is becoming huge.
That scares the ever-living daylights out of me. We just got my oldest, we just hooked up her phone with a data plan and, you know, so she can call us when she doesn't have Wi-Fi because she struggles really bad with anxiety. So she needs to be able to get a hold of my wife sometimes so she can be there for her. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest fear. Sure, she can have a cell phone, but it better not have a camera. And we've talked about this stuff with her, and we let her know, like, once it's on the internet, it's out there.
You know, I have a hard time explaining that to adults who will post stuff on Facebook, or they'll post it and they'll say, well, it's private. There is nothing private on the internet. Once you've sent it.
I either wasn't social media when I was a kid because I did so much stupid stuff that would end me now. Cancel culture would get a hold of it and I would be outcast.
Absolutely. You know what? We were so lucky. You know, our kids are facing something we never had to deal with. I couldn't imagine having to live with that. And the longer I can protect my kids from it, the better. And it does. It scares the hell out of me because I see adults doing it. I see adults going, well, you know, if I, women especially, but, you know, if I take off, you know, if I show a selfie from here down and it looks like I'm naked, or maybe I am naked, I'm going to get more likes. I'm going to get more shares. I'm going to be more popular. And that idea that our identity is wrapped up in how many likes, shares, and followers we have on social media has actually prompted me to do some of these podcasts and series about these hard topics, because we need to take that back. We need to change it, because social media and the internet isn't going anywhere. And we have to find a way to make it a positive influence in our life. And what can happen to our kids, you know, it does. Like you said, it scares me as well. And I'm trying very hard. I talk about everything. And because I reach out and I do these podcasts and I talk to so many people, these stories are so important for our kids to hear. And, you know, I let my daughter listen to my podcasts and we discuss them and things like that. When my kids are older, or my boys are older, I'm going to do the same. But what about you? Is, you know, you're going to let your daughters watch this video when they're a bit older and say, this is my story?
No, I'm going to let them watch it now. As soon as you put it up, they can watch it.
Good for you.
Kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, I think. And, you know, my kids are, well, they're friggin' amazing. You know, I'm really lucky. Like, they've been a real blessing, and they're there for me. If they see me sad, they're there to check on me and be like, hey, you need a hug. And they'll just come up and give me a hug. And it's really awesome. And I want to be as open with them as I can, you know, about the stuff I've gone through, especially now. You know, they need to know so they don't make the same mistakes I've made. They can avoid.
And what you're doing is so important for women. It's so important for your girls to understand healthy relationships and healthy emotions, because we live what we learn. And, you know, seeing that you can deal with your emotions and that you can get help, it just makes them realize that if they ever get to a place where they do need it, it's there. And having that ability to talk to them, oh, you know what? I talk to my kids about everything. There's nothing that's off topic in my house, which has led to some very strange conversations.
My wife had these experiences and she's told me about them, and it's just like, well, they're coming to talk to you, so that's a good thing.
That's exactly it, right? And, you know, if I could give my kids the one thing that I wish I had when I was growing up, is that relationship that they have someone that they can always talk to. And it sounds like that's what you're giving your kids. And after everything you've been through, I'm so proud of you. What you have shared today is going to change people's lives, especially men. I have this definition of feminist. When people ask me if I'm a feminist, I say I am. And to me, being a feminist means that I want all women to be free and equal to choose whatever they want to choose in their life, even if I wouldn't choose it for myself. And to me, that sounds like exactly how you describe masculinity. And I love that comparison. And I want to thank you so much for sharing today.
Oh. It's been good. I'm glad I did it.
Me too. So I am going to share this. Like I said, if you are tuned in, you already know where you're listening to, but go back to the FU Network and find our podcast on bullying and give me your 2 cents, because I want to talk to more people. I want to share stories of yours that is, you know, sometimes we hear all the negativity and we hear these horror stories that we went through as kids, but to see how you are using it to benefit your life now and create this amazing family, we need more of that. So thank you very much, Byron, for being here.
You're very welcome.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I'm at the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network.